And welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody, here on Giants.com. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross with you. We'll be here for the next hour to take your phone calls, your comments, and your questions regarding the New York Giants as they prepare for Sunday night football against the Green Bay Packers out at Lambeau Field. Our phone number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Howard, just to get quickly to the injury report as the Giants are out there practicing, did not see Larry Donnell or Nat Burhe out on the practice field, which means they would still be in concussion protocol.
They got boo-boos.
And since it's Wednesday, or actually now Thursday, that means it's certainly less likely that they will play on Sunday.
I don't truly understand totally the concussion protocol. I just do. I know that you have to pass it. Usually you have to pass it by Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can get all the way out to Friday. It has something to do with travel. I think that the plane itself is part of the problem when they have it.
All right. So in any event, that's where it stands. It did look like we saw Eli Apple, who's got a hamstring, and Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, who's got a groin injury. Those guys were in gear and doing some positional drills during the open portion of practice. So there may be some optimism there. I know the Giants certainly could use at least one of those guys back.
They could use both of those guys back.
Yeah.
You know, the secondary, there was a lot of money spent on it, draft picks put back there for a reason. And when those guys aren't in the game, it stresses out all the other guys who were there, you know, basically to back them up. You maybe want to miss one of those guys, not two or three of them.
And Aaron Rodgers can throw it, too.
Well, he can, but, you know, we want to make sure that we give the credit what the credit due. Our secondary is pretty formidable when they're all there.
Yeah, no question about that. So that's the business at hand, and we will then move forward with your calls. Again, 201-939-4513. I don't want to waste any time with us. I want to get to you guys. So let's go right to our first caller of the day. That would be Bob. You are on line four. You're first up on the show. Hello.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Good. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
And, I really enjoy the show. I had just two questions. One was, I heard Sean O'Hara on one of the shows make a statement that Eli was getting the ball out in like 2.3 seconds. And, you know, a lot of the throws the other night against Minnesota, they looked like he threw the ball into the ground a few times when the pressure seemed to be collapsing on him. The first question, is that because they don't, like, I know they have a quick hit offense, but they're not really allowing the receiver to get downfield a little bit, like, a, you know, Beckham and them? And is that to protect the line? I mean, like, he's number one or two in the league and getting the ball out in the time frame, 2.3, whatever it is. And is that because they don't have confidence to let the route develop more in the offensive line? And secondly, I wanted to ask Howard, I mean, I spoke 2 weeks ago with him, again, these tight ends, I mean, it just looks like Will Tye to me again, and I'm not an expert, but I do see what I see. I've been watching the Giants for 40 years, and he doesn't seem to run the route with the speed level of the NFL, and doesn't seem to block at the level of the NFL, and it's just an opinion. Not that he's not a great ball player, but he just seems a step behind everybody. And so I thought the offense put up 27 points. It should have been enough to win the football game. That's a lot of points, 27. There's a lot of talk about penalties and all that, but they did score 27 points. You should win most of your games with that. So, again, I just want to know what you think about the time release with Eli and all.
The first thing with the time release is probably because I'm assuming, and I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming when he's throwing the ball at the feet right there in the front of him, that's usually because he's trying to set up a screen or something and the guy's getting held. So once he starts to once they hold the back, you have to get rid of the ball to make sure that your linemen are downfield. So if there's a screen set up and the back gets held, but the linemen don't see that he's held, and he just happens to throw the ball downfield to a Odell or anybody, then they're down the field and you're going to get the play call back. So instead of doing that, he may have thrown it in the ground. I think that happened two or three times in the game. It may have been screens. Don't know. I didn't know. I don't know what the play was. I didn't see him looking downfield for any receivers either at that time. I just saw him looking at that guy. So that could be one thing.
That's his way of aborting the play.
Yeah, you have to. If you don't, then you get a penalty on top of, or you get a sack. Either thing's bad. As far as the tight ends, Will Tye is not a premier tight end. I mean, I don't want you to, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that Will Tye is the premier tight end and that we should be getting more production out of him. I mean, he's doing pretty well for his abilities. You know, a free agent player from Stony Brook, you know, hung around, got a chance to play in the league, and you are getting everything he has to give with his ability. I don't think that he's doing necessarily that bad. As far as blocking goes, there are very few tight ends in the league that are blocking tight ends or just right. get the job done. You know, Jason Witten is supposed to be one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. I saw, you know, Vernon throw him into the backfield and make a tackle with him. So it's just part of the game. I don't know how other to explain that. You know, if a guy comes along somewhere down in the draft, maybe. But if you sacrifice one part of the game usually for the other. If a guy's a great receiver, you sacrificing and blocking. If a guy's a tremendous blocker, you're usually sacrificing that speed to get down the field. So this day and age, I mean, like I said, we'll see what O.J. Howard looks like when O.J. Howard comes out of Alabama next year. He's the big, strong, fast, supposed to be all-everything guy. But until he comes out.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Sure. Is that all?
Yeah, just again, like I said, I was just curious because a lot of the fans and all that, you know, the guys I know from Jersey, and just doesn't seem like the receivers have enough time to get into the route like 20, 30 yards downfield. Everything we seem to do is just a dink and dunk.
Bob,
you know? We're not allowing those big threat guys like Shepard and Beckham to get down there where they need 3 seconds.
Bob, I would add to you that the Giants offensive philosophy, at least in the early part of the season, has been to try to hit more of the short and medium range routes and try to get guys on the move so that they can get more yards after the catch. The Giants are in the top 10 in the NFL in yards after the catch in terms of their passing game. And one of those reasons is that, again, they're trying to get those guys crossing routes, slant routes, try to get them on the move underneath where they've got room to do something with the ball.
Well, yes, that, and you have to also remember that you're trying to set the timing of the offense up. You want the quarterback to get the ball out of his hand, quarterback get the ball out of his hand, quarterback get off the ball out of his hand. And then all of a sudden, it's quarterback hesitates, and the guy goes deep.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking that we have guys on the team that can just flat out run by guys, they're pretty good, but I'm not saying they're not going to just blow.
They're not track stars.
They're not A.J. Green. Okay, A.J. Green runs by, takes the top off of a defense. Our guys can still make it and get open deep, but it's not just because they just flat out outran a guy every time. And I think that, you know, when you're looking at it and you're looking at other teams, think of the receivers you're watching or think of the DBs you're watching. If you get a DB that's a little slow on the turn or his hips are a little tight, you go over the top on him. And you go over the top on him as many times as possible. If you get a guy that can play, that can turn, that can run, that can cover, you can't really go over the top. You don't go over the top on Sherman out in Seattle. You just don't. You know, you saw some guys go over the top on Revis Island. But it's because why? They're fast, blazing fast guys, and he, you know, tried to test them a little bit, and they were like, "Yeah, okay, catch me." And after that, what did he do? He stayed back.
Bob, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you again another time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
All right, Chris from Syracuse, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I just had quick question or two. It's kind of along the lines of what we've been talking about, but I was wondering, do you think that we'll see a little bit of change up in scheme this week from what we've seen, not only simply because, you know, haven't seen like a lot of trips or a lot of bunch or anything like that. We're seeing a lot of 2x2. And I was just wondering if we think because of the familiarity of the two teams and the two offensive systems that maybe we're finally going to mix it up a little bit here. Otherwise, I just think that it's, If not, it's just going to come down to who's going to make the plays, I guess, because I don't think that with the familiarity between McAdoo and Green Bay, if we don't change some things up and try to catch them off guard, they're going to know what's coming more so than every other team that we've already played that knows everything that we're doing, it seems like.
All right. Chris, just bear with us a second. Howard, I think the only counter that I would have to his suggestion is that the Giants have actually moved the ball fairly well this year. I think they're sixth in the NFL in terms of yards per game offensively. The problem is the red zone's not been good. They've turned the ball over too much, and they've had too many penalties.
I think most of the stuff that the Giants have is self-inflicted.
Yeah.
And I don't think we credit that enough. I think if you eliminate the penalties and the turnovers, the Giants are 3-0 or maybe even 4-0. So, but I think – hold on. I just think that what you're looking at – you're looking at mistakes. The Redskin game, you block a punch, you're down on the 5-yard line, someone has a stupid play, it's called back. That's points. You're taking points off the board. Now you're 3-1. In the Minnesota game, if you can just continue not to turn the ball over, or if you catch that muffed punt, it's a different feeling game. And I can't take that away from them. I don't want to discredit other teams, but the Giants are really – there are a lot of self-inflicted wounds there.
I'll tell you what, that third down penalty on the Giants' first drive of the game in Minnesota, which went on Eric Flowers, took them out of field goal range.
Yeah.
I mean, that's points.
Yeah, and it's you know, and another thing is that, and I don't like to say stuff like this because it's kind of crazy. The Odell Beckham rule that they've put into the game, it's a little disturbing. Where if Odell Beckham cheers, or if Odell Beckham dances after a player, if Odell Beckham gets up and says anything, the next play after that, if a player touches him and he flails his arm, they're going to throw a flag on him and say he's being unsportsmanlike. And I think that,
right.
And I think that we don't. I think that we've kind of glossed over that moment a little bit. Yeah, Odell should probably recognize that and maybe stop doing some of the stuff. But you're glossing over the fact that a player goes after him, he goes after the player, and then an official throws a flag that can barely see out of bounds. No less see if Odell and the guy are talking to each other. So then after that, Odell has to like change his whole philosophy. He catches a big play, he can't cheer or anything. He has to drop the ball, walk back to the huddle with his hands to his side. The guys were grabbing him during the game, walking him out of bounds and saying, hey, you're his fourth down. Get off the field. And he couldn't even react. The officials were, like, sitting there. They're like, okay, Odell, go off the field. And, like, that's a little weird. And I'm not saying that Odell, again, isn't at fault for some of this. He kind of brought it on himself. But you can't change the rules of the game just to affect the one player.
Well, yeah, I would agree with all that. But I guess the question, or part of piggybacking off of that, is do you think that we're 6 in overall yards because that's just the strategy of what the other teams are doing? They're saying, hey, take your yards because you're not going to be able to sustain a drive long enough and you're not going to catch us off guard with anything, and sooner or later you're going to make a mistake. And that's why I'm wondering if that would help to try to
the Giants have played into those hands, though, by making the mistakes.
Yeah, but you know,
that's what's happened.
But here's the thing. If you say, well, we started off these conversations a few weeks ago, the whole thing was about how bad our offensive line was, how they're not going to be productive, how they're not going to protect Eli, how they're not going to be able to run the ball, how they're not going to be able to do all these things. The offense is designed for, you know, high completion rates, 70% if you can get it, and then the occasional big strike. It's not designed to go back, hold the ball, and have Eli – at risk on every play to throw the ball down the field. That's just not how it's designed. If you want to try that, then you got to say, hey, guys, beat your guy. So what do? I roll somebody over the top on Odell. I kind of put my best corner on Victor. And then in the slot, I keep one safety kind of shadowing where the slot guy is. Then you're dependent on the tight ends to go deep. That's the easy way to do it. And just rush four. And if you rush four and it takes another second to get the ball off, somebody will get there. I mean, that's how I would do it.
Thank you, Chris.
No problem.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. We're coming up on our poll question of the day.
Uh-oh.
We'd like to know, A or B, how many touchdowns will the Giants offense score against the Packers? A is 0-2. B is more than 2. And if you are on your Giants.com app on your portable mobile phone and watching the program there, you have the opportunity to vote on our Giants poll question. That's our first poll question of the day. There'll also be one later on this afternoon as we continue the program. Harry, you're from North Carolina and next on the show. Hello.
Henry.
Oh, Henry. Yeah. Yes, it's Henry.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
This is the second time I've called Henry from North Carolina.
Hello, Henry.
Yeah, I called back around draft time. I just wanted to say I love your show.
Oh, great. Appreciate it.
This is just so exciting to get football information on the Giants year-round.
Mm-hmm.
2 points that I called on. Number one, I'm wondering if Ben McAdoo and Eli Manning have made the right decision to mention some things in the press about Odell Beckham. My thinking is – yeah, there were some issues, but they should handle that behind the scenes. Take care of their business behind the scenes. If they need to fine him or if they need to bench him for a number of series, fine. But I don't think that was wise to mention that in the press. It could have long-term ramifications. My second point relates to the offensive coordinator of the Giants, the current offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You going back to 2011, he was Eli Manning's quarterback coach. I believe that during the Super Bowl run year. Is that not correct?
He's been the receivers coach, the quarterback's mm-hmm. coach, and now the offensive coordinator. He's had three different positions with the
team. He's moving around.
Okay. Do you remember when after that Super Bowl year, he went down to Tampa Bay, I believe it was.
Yes.
And became the offensive coordinator down there. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go well. It didn't go well at all.
That wasn't a very good team, to be fair.
And who was was the
that's
quarterback?
That's true, but there were some problems, and there was some promise, I think, for that young quarterback that Tampa Bay had down there. What was his name? Freeman? I can't remember exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Josh Freeman.
Hold on for a second.
At that time, Josh Freeman really started to have some serious problems and did not play well that year.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this summer, during the summer camp, when Nassib got into the game, I was shocked by his – he seemed like he was totally lost. I couldn't believe how he was performing, and he had performed well previous years with under Ben McAdoo as the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And there seemed to be real promise for him coming up, and he just seemed to be totally lost. Now, we're having some other issues with the offense. We are sixth, but we're trending down. We're trending down. Now, we're not trending up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, this outbreak or outburst by Odell, is it related to something that could be going on behind the scenes? Plus, I noticed in that game with Minnesota, the schemes didn't seem to be – there didn't seem to be a variety of schemes as far as where he lined everyone up. And it was easy, seemed to me, Minnesota saw what we were doing the same thing. Well, now, there were some plays where we did some stacks and things like that, but for the most part, the lineup, they could have moved Odell around, and they didn't do that. I'm just concerned, and I think that Ben ought to take a look at that if he's not already doing so, and I'm sure he is. But I believe that if we don't, if there is an issue here and it's not addressed in the next week or two, we're going to lose the season. I just wanted to share those points, and maybe you could comment on those things when I get off the phone.
All right, Henry, thank you.
So I'll address Odell Beckham first, because I think everybody, that's been the topic of all media. First off, from the standpoint of him being moved around and everything and trying to find a spot for him to get open, if you're a top guy, you get open when you want to get open.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we've been, kind of drawn, grown across them to him getting open when he wants to get open.
He's good enough to do that.
Yeah, and we've also grown accustomed to that as him doing that when it's no one else for him to do that against, meaning that there's not another alpha receiver on the team. Now there's three. There's three of them. So now that kind of functions into it, because there are not many targets, there's not many things, but the fans still want him to be the main focus. I understand. I get that. As far as talking about it in the press and talking about it in behind scenes or bringing it out in the open, I don't know, what schooling or how they're doing things, but if someone asks you 10,000 times, is it a distraction, and someone says something, then everybody gets to comment on what's being said. If the player, if we as players never had to answer the media, because when I came in the league, this is what was said: never speak to the media. And you're laughing. It was said that they don't understand what you do for a living. They don't understand the dynamic of what you of your group. They don't care about you.
Bill used to call us communist submersives.
Yeah, but he, and unfortunately, he's right.
That's Coach Parcells, by the way.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's right. And what happens is that we sit here on these platforms and we talk about players and players' lives and what players do, and we try to, you know, give our spin on what we're looking at without actually even knowing. And I think that sometimes, like, you know, every time we ask to raise up the hood, we complain about what we see. So when someone says, yeah, he's a bit of a distraction, now the whole world's like, he's a distraction. But when did being fired up become a distraction? So if you're fired up and you're a linebacker, you're fired up. If you're fired up and you're a receiver, you're a diva.
Yes. It's like, that's true. So the perception is ridiculous.
It's just like whatever we're saying. And I'm not saying that it's not a distraction or is a distraction. I'm just telling everybody, like, calm down. Let's get back to the basics. Here's the basics. We got to keep the offense moving. We got to turn down the penalties. And we got to stop giving the ball away. We do that. I mean, our offensive line playing very well right now.
Yeah, and I want to just second Howard's point for 1 second about the O-line. For all the talk that there was about those guys during the offseason, by all of us, by the way, they right now have not been the problem.
They are the spotlight of the team right now. They're the guys.
They've done a solid job.
They're getting the grind on.
So, all right, next up, we have Adam from Ohio. You're on the show. Hello.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
We're great.
Good.
I wanted to talk to you about a couple things. I'll try to be quick here. I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday, Paul, I believe. It is a little disappointing still when I see, you know, LeGarrette Blount, Dez Bryant tweeting out support for Odell Beckham, and it just seems like you don't circle the wagons for him, handle everything behind closed doors, and really come to his defense in the media if you're the New York Giants. And I think it's particularly important because, like Howard said, it was a you know, sin at best flag that was thrown on him. Two refs were right there. Neither of them had a problem with it. And Hockley, 30 yards away, ascertained that Odell taunted a guy who just hit him late. You know, it's disappointing to hear. It's better, I guess, to hear Eli Manning say, yeah, I didn't necessarily think he was taunting. The only problem I had was last year with Norman. I guess, once again, I'm going to ask you, why is Eli bringing that stuff up again? Why not just say Odell's treated unfairly? Maybe he needs to realize that. That's what we're up against, but we're going to support him. I mean, it is disappointing to see people around the league supporting him. It makes me think of when Brady got suspended for cheating and how quickly the entire organization, from the owner down to the players, came to his defense. You know, I just wonder, where is that mentality for us?
Well, I think this. I think you have to be very careful with the Odell thing, because the Odell thing is a rule. I know Brady's thing was kind of rule, but Odell's thing is like a judgment rule. So if every time that they start to throw these flags and the coach starts to complain about basically an official's call, an official's judgment, the coach will start to get fined. I think that as the players start to complain about the official's call and the official judgment, they will start to get fined. The one thing that the league really tries to protect are the officials. They do not want you saying it's a bad call after the game. They do not want you pointing a finger at the officials. They don't want you to do any of that. So from this standpoint, I think there are conversations being had with the league right now. I think there are people calling the league and saying, hey, guys, I need to know what's going on. But you can't publicize that, because if you publicize that, one, you're going to get fined, and two, you're going to draw negative attention from the people that, like, I get the whole you want to hear guys like speaking up for him and talking in his favor. But if you start to criticize the guys in the striped shirts, it doesn't usually go in the way that they start making calls in your favor. It's not like basketball where you're like, hey, ref, hey, ref, hey, ref, and then he blows the whistle. Usually when he said, hey, ref, three times, he calls the flag on you.
Yeah. See, Adam, you have to understand what Howard's talking about is the referees are in that judgment zone when they're calling that type of penalty. It's not a black and white penalty. So anytime you're questioning
a judgment call,
you are really you're in sticky water right there.
You just can't. I
understand that, but I don't think you can then go to the media and reconcile that with the fact that Odell's brought it on himself and that he needs to act differently, et cetera, et cetera.
He's,
I think it's fair to have a little attitude to say we don't agree with the call, but we've got our guys back. We're going to make some adjustments. If he's not treated fairly, we're going to act accordingly. We'll adjust on the fly. However, this is not an Odell Beckham problem.
Adam, I would only say this. Adam, I will only say this, and then we're going to let you go. I will say this. In terms of the Giants locker room, I have heard a number of players, including Justin Pugh, who has said it multiple times, that he personally does not think that anything Odell has done has been a distraction to him.
And better than not being a distraction, they have his back.
And he has said that too.
And when you watch them on the sideline, so you're watching the game and you see what's happening, you don't see the guys on the sideline, Eli included, coming over and say, hey, man, that's a bogus call. I don't know what they're doing trying to keep him in the game because – again, once you get that first call, everything else, like, you could do anything. You could sneeze on a dude, and they might throw another flag on you. So it's a tough – he did bring it on himself, but he kind of has to just play and not talk to anyone anywhere and just be excited. And even then, they might throw a flag.
Adam, our phone lines are really full. I invite you to call back another show.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'll touch base soon.
Come back and talk to us again. Jamal from Dallas. Oh, wait a second now. Do we have a – we don't have a result on the poll? The second poll question's coming up. We didn't get results on the first one. We'll get those in just a minute. I'm sorry, folks. 201-939-4513. Jamal from Dallas, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I'm glad I got the call with Howard Cross there, being a former tight end for – I got a question with the offense. Is there a reason why the personnel, is there a reason why we really don't have a tight end or a fullback in our offense? I mean, not just a tight end, but a serviceable tight end. I know we have Will Ty and Larry Donnell, but he seems to be hurt or injury prone. But why don't we have a quality tight end? The reason why I ask that is because it seems like Eli, the way he likes to throw the ball, he likes to throw it high. And he likes big receivers. And I'm wondering I noticed in the past when we won the Super Bowl, we had quality tight ends or serviceable tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see us having that right now in our system. And we don't have a fullback, so we can't run from an I formation or do any of those things. Everything we run from is a single back, shotgun single back. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
All right, so two things. First off, Larry Donnell a couple years ago was a 65 reception tight end.
Yes.
Last year he hurt his neck. This year I told everyone that the position itself might be 65 or 70 catches, but they won't be coming from Donnell because there are two tight ends that are going to be catching the ball. So that's number one. Number two, the tight ends themselves have been in the backfield acting as the fullback. Most teams don't carry fullbacks anymore. The fullback position is unique. And you have to run a fullback-driven offense, more like a Pittsburgh might try to do or some teams like that. But not most teams in the league, they just don't really use the fullback that way. So that's where the quote-unquote H-back kind of develops, where a tight end can move into the backfield and lead a block. Not always the ideal situation, but that's what happens.
Remember, the Giants signed Will Johnson from the Steelers in the offseason, and he was supposed to be that guy.
That blocking H-back tight end guy.
I mean, and you know what? It went IR on him. He had the stinger. He had weakness in his shoulder, and that was it. I mean, they tried to address that situation, and the guy got hurt.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to name like five teams with a fullback.
That's it. It might be five.
If there's five. So that's just – The league and the game itself it's more premium on scoring. When I was a kid, it was, you know, a tight end, a fullback, two receivers, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Everybody ran the ball. That was the, you know, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, all those guys, Dickerson. That's what the league was based on. The league was based on how great your running back was, how great your offensive line was, and then play defense around it. That converted it to, we used to laugh, we used to watch the Detroit Lions play, that run and shoot. That's ridiculous. The old Houston Oilers with Warren Moon, run and shoot. We laughed at that because we're like, how could you have a team when you get down to the goal line, you can't just punch it in, right? You can't punch it in.
Right.
So we made fun of that, not knowing that that's where the league was eventually heading. Now there are kids practicing 7-on-7 camps. I watch my son play for St. Joe's Regional, and they are constantly trying to figure a way to get a fullback involved in the game so they can run straight ahead. But they're running from the spread offense. There's not a quarterback under center taking snaps. When you don't have that, that's when that starts to, you know, you're as Carl Banks likes to say, you're betwixt in between.
Yeah, he does.
So you're in between.
I got one more comment.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
One more question. I got one more question for y'all. Is it just me, and y'all probably around up, y'all a lot of them around Eli and the offense a lot more. But when I'm watching the game, when I watch Eli over the last few years, I noticed that he throws it to where he expects the receiver to be. Now, I know a lot of quarterbacks, I know a lot of plays are designed and timing routes and all that stuff. I played safety in college, so I get all that. A lot of routes are timing. But what I'm trying to understand is it seems like a lot of his interceptions are either, one, the receiver went in the wrong route, or two, he's anticipating the receiver to be somewhere, and the receiver didn't get there yet, or the receiver just off. My thing is the frustration part I have with Eli sometimes is he throws it to where he expects the receiver to be, but – when y'all say y'all got to play above the X and the O's, isn't that where the quarterback has to actually see where the receiver is and get it there?
Yes and no. And this is why it's yes and no. If you want to throw it right to a receiver, if he's going down the field, we'll say vertically, you have to throw it almost on his back shoulder if it's tight coverage, or you have to have a step on the guy and you have to lead him.
Right.
So if you're leading him, you're throwing in anticipation where he's going to be. If it's a crossing route or an out pattern, you cannot wait for him to be open. When you drop back and you hit your foot hits the ground, the ball has to be coming out,
right,
and that receiver has to be grinding to that spot. The way that you train kids to run routes with quarterbacks, you go up and you practice them running half routes to show them exactly where they're going to be, and you show the quarterback at his drop. Then you start getting the timing of that. How do you get three steps? Boom, ball released, guy has to be there. If you don't do that, if you go with – I'm going to throw it when I see him open, you're going to throw interceptions because the guys on the other side are playing defense. Camardi is going to intercept the ball. Reeves is going to intercept the ball. Everybody, Jabril is going to – anybody is going to intercept the ball.
I get that. What I notice with Eli a lot is the timing route I get. I totally get the timing aspect. But I get even with the timing route, it's like you still got to see where the receiver is going to be at. And sometimes I feel like either – he's not really looking where the receiver's position, and that's when he throws
his
bad ball.
I'm going to stop you for just a second because we often hear about chemistry between quarterbacks and receivers.
I know what he's talking about, though.
I think the one word that is key is trust.
Yeah, but I know what he's talking
quarterback.
About.
He's talking about
like if a receiver's going down the field,
right?
And we'll, for the fans that are listening, a cover two or cover three or cover four. If the safety's in the middle of the field, that's like either three or one.
Right.
Right? So now the receiver has broken coverage. He's broken between the linebackers, is just a corner, and a safety. If the receiver is breaking, he's supposed to stay on the outside, and Eli launches it to the outside.
Right.
But then at the last second, puts his foot in the ground and cuts across the safety's face.
Right.
But the ball's already out.
Sure.
Then it's like he wants to know, like, shouldn't he wait another count for that to happen? And that's like – That's a sketchy proposition. You have to be on the same page. You can't.
Right, and that's why I get frustrated with Eli the most, because I see that so often where it's like a second or two, he could have waited. It wasn't pressure on him. He had a little bit of time to see the route actually develop, to see where the receiver was going
to
be versus the defender to make it a better ball.
But this is why that kind of doesn't work, because at the moment that the guy breaks free, that's when he's going to be open. And the receiver has to understand what he's looking at. So you make that move, lean in, but stay outside if that's where you're supposed to be. Or if you know you got to come inside and you make that lean out, you have to stay inside. You can't double move once you've broken coverage and you're out there. So if he throws it where you – okay, boom, I look up. The safety's in the middle. The corner's falling off. He's got the entire sideline. I lean it towards the sideline. The safety is making a bead for the sideline, and he decides to cut across the safety's face because now I'm open. Like, yo, you're supposed to stay on your line once you've made that decision. And once that ball's out of my hand, and I'm not saying that this is like Eli's right or the receiver's wrong, but once that ball leaves my hand, there's a commitment that needs to be made on both parties. The safety who's watching the play has made his commitment.
Right.
So if he makes the break to that side at full speed, he knows that I can't turn and chase this guy to the other side. Now, if the quarterback knows he's going to have another second or two, maybe he waits a second or two, like you're saying. But if he waits a second or two and then that guy makes a great adjustment, then that guy's covered. Then you got to start hoping that someone else underneath comes out, and that usually doesn't happen. When you make the commitment for the deep ball and you with your timing and you're getting it released, you're hoping that, okay, I'm throwing it, either he's going to catch it, there's possibly going to be a pass interference, but you don't want the interception. And the only way you can do that is trust that you guys are on the same page when it happens.
There's that word, trust again. Mm-hmm. That's a key word when you're talking about the passing game. Jamal, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I think it would be fair to say, in reference to his comment, you saw more of those issues when Reuben Randle was running routes for the Giants.
I'm not going to call guys' names. What happens is when Gil Bright was calling the offense. Gil Bright was a big, big hit down the field guy.
Yes.
And the down the field guys had to do what they call a read and react. The quarterback and the receiver had to read and react to the coverage in the deep ball moment.
Yes.
So the fans got accustomed to. Now the thing's changing where you actually have rules. So the guys are all still have to play within the rules, and I don't know what happens down there if there's a read-react or anything.
Okay.
I don't know that part.
We have the answer to our first poll question. 62% of you who answered the Giants.com app say the Giants will score more than 2 touchdowns in Green Bay on Sunday night, and 38% of you said between 0 and 2. I would maintain, Howard, they've got to score more than 2 if they're going to win the game.
Yeah, they need to score more than 2, but they need to just, if they can clean up the offense, clean it up, and they're going to score more than 2 touchdowns.
Our second poll question of the day, who will have the most receiving yards against the Packers? And again, go to your Giants.com app on your telephone, your mobile device. You have 3 choices this time, A, B, or C, Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, or Odell Beckham Jr. So we invite you to participate. We'll give you the results in just a few minutes. Our number here, 201-939-4513. Phone lines are just burning up, so I'm not even going to get to the Twitters. I know you guys are trying to hit us up there as well. But Matt from Long Island, you're next on the show. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how you doing there, Paul and Howard?
Great.
All right. Big fan of yours, Howard. So
thank you.
Good job. Just wanted to talk about something.
Okay.
Look, I coach and I play quarterback, you know, not in the NFL. Do it for little guys. Mm-hmm. Do it for myself. And the big thing I do when I go to the field is I look for matchups. I look for where the other team that I'm playing is actually weak. And I feel like everyone's doing that to us. We knew coming into Monday night's game that our secondary was beat up. We were going to make Sam Bradford look like Joe Montana. I knew that. You cannot sit and allow OV and JPP have not gotten pressure through the first few games. We can't just sit there, because if you're going to give Bradford or any quarterback in the NFL time, they're going to find someone open down that field. And Wade got torched through this game. And I understand we have injuries, and it was going to be really tough to stop anyone. So you got to roll the dice. You got to take some chances. I didn't even see a safety blitz. I don't know if I'm wrong, but I didn't see a safety blitz. I didn't see a guy come off the corner. Because if someone comes off the corner or someone blitzes, maybe we get a fumble. Maybe Bradford gets scared and throws one up in the air and we get an interception. We cannot play a vanilla defense and expect to stop them. That's on the defensive side of the ball. I'm just going to throw this out there, and maybe you guys could say whatever you say after I get off. And then on offense, we all know Minnesota has this great defense. We know that. We run the same offense every single week. Every Giant fan knows we're going to possibly throw on first down, run on second down, and leave ourselves in a 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7. We don't have a great offensive line. Yes, true, our offensive line has not killed us through the first few games, but then again, Eli's getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds. So Eli looks like he doesn't trust that the offensive line is going to hold out for him. With that being said, not to bring up another game, but I watched Miami play Cincinnati. Sunday night, I think it was Thursday night, 2 weeks ago, last week, whatever it was. And the second play of the game, Miami came out with either 4 or 5 wide receivers, and they threw a 70-yard touchdown. I was expecting the Giants to roll the dice, not let Minnesota's great coach sit there and know this is what the Giants are going to do on every single play. Put Lewis and King. Get them into the game. Put 4 guys out. I understand we're not going to have protection. I get that. But you could throw one-on-one. It messes up the defensive plan that Minnesota has put together. Now it's going to mess up their plan. They're going to say, oh, my God, we didn't expect the Giants to come out with 4 or 5 wideouts. Our tight ends, they can't catch. They're terrible. We don't have great tight ends. And we don't have confidence in the backs out of the backfield with Marine down. But to stretch them out might take a linebacker off the field. And everyone knows in this league the D-backs are weak. How many we're making every D-back, even in the sink game and the skin game, we're making second, third, fourth string corners look like they're Deion Sanders out here.
All right, Matt, good call, and I'm sensing a lot of frustration. Could just bear with me a second. I want Howard to try to respond, but we only have another 20 minutes in the show, so try to make this one quick.
I'll make it quick. So for you, just when you're watching the game, if you go back and watch it, when you notice that Wade is by himself, that's usually because they're bringing pressure up the middle, which leaves Wade on an island, right? So they were trying to help cover him by trying to hold a safety over the top. But when they brought pressure, safety kind of rolls back to the middle of the field. Wade's usually running one-on-one down the sideline by himself. So when you're saying, did they get their pressure? They were trying to pressure. They just weren't getting there. And by the way, if those two guys, Vernon and JPP, have a sack a game from this point on, they're both Pro Bowlers. But if the sacks don't really affect the game, it doesn't really matter,
right,
if they're doing that or not. Number two, as far as the offense goes, I think that the offense is playing pretty well. I don't think that people realize that, you know, I kind of like when Darkwall was running the ball. I don't know why they went away from Darkwall running the ball, but they were gaining yards on him, and they were moving it.
Howard, saying that Dark was running the ball?
Just
they're
hold on.
Preparing us to run the ball.
No.
Don't.
There is no letting people run the ball. They played a wide nine technique. They slid the defense in way out.
Right.
The tackle just goes up and chips. The linebackers one on one. Somebody got through the hole. Whether it's a tight end pulling through the hole, just to chip the linebacker. They got space. When they got space on that again, think of it this way. Once you're doing something, you're trying to get something going, you're looking for the next thing. I don't understand the offense, and I can't sit here and tell you what the offensive game plan is week in and week out. I'm a lot like most fans. I'm watching the game and hoping that it's going to work out in the favor. I will say that as frustrated as everyone is, I still think it's more of the penalties, the ridiculous plays that they're making against themselves that's holding them back. If they can clean it up, they're going to be dangerous. If they can't clean it up, then, you know, we get what we get. But it's not as bad as we say, and it's not as good as we wish it was.
You know, I just want to leave one last point, and I'll jump off. I know you got other callers.
Mm-hmm.
When we see a weakness on their defense, when we're on offense, you know, I feel like people exploit our weaknesses. When we find something that works for us, I know we try to keep balance between pass and run. I get it. I hear it. I don't understand exactly why. I only care about winning the game. I don't care what the stats say. We only look at the stats when we lose and go, oh, well, because we weren't balanced, we lost. You know, if I see a corner that one of our guys, if it's Cruz or Shepard or whomever, could abuse, I want to go to that guy every single play until they show me they could stop our guy. I feel like we make a nice play, and then we try to balance out the run, and then, you know, we try to keep them guessing.
Well,
I don't
know what the philosophy is, but I've seen some games where, like, Odell will have a bunch of catches, and the other week we had Shepard had a bunch of catches. It goes in different flow. I don't, again, watching the game from where I'm watching, not being involved in the game plan and not being involved in, you know, what they're thinking or why they're thinking, I can only tell you this. When you're watching the game, kind of watch where the safeties are standing in the game. And then from that, you start to kind of pick up on what they're doing, and you can see it. Sometimes the safety will lead you to what could happen. Sometimes it'll lead you nowhere. Because I've been standing on the sideline, see somebody in a position, I'm thinking, okay, well, they're coming this way, I need to back up. And they go the opposite side of the field.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
It
so, but
like
I don't know.
Safeties, you know, back to help out with Odell taking it deep, Matt, on them, and they're giving us short.
Matt, it's a good call. I appreciate it. We got to move on. We got so many people on the line and a lot of Twitters. But it's a good call, thoughtful call, and we invite you to get back to us again on another show. Quickly, I want to run through the Twitters because we do have some people here who did try to get through. Jonathan Potenga says, why don't we bring back Bennett Jackson to add depth at cornerback and safety? This is a guy coming off serious leg injuries, and in training camp he wasn't able to win a job.
He couldn't run, right. That's why he didn't – unfortunately, that's why he didn't stick. He couldn't
run.
It's
a shame.
Yeah.
Good guy and very smart player, too.
Yeah, and a heads-up player. He can play. He could play a couple years ago, but coming back off that injury, needs some time and just not ready yet.
Gentleman A.J. Marshall says, you think Eli Apple and DRC will play this week? We need those two against Aaron Rodgers. Hey, there's no question. That would help a lot.
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Let's see. We have a gentleman here who says, please, I guess the app is giving us some trouble. I get a couple people here talking about the app. I apologize if there is some technical difficulties going on. E, the Chosen One, says, we have 7 legit offensive weapons. Time to use them this week and unleash them against the rest of the world. No holding back. I guess he's talking about all the receivers and the tight ends.
All the receivers, the tight ends, the backs. He's talking about everybody. Yeah. Yep.
How about we just play with a full spread and no offensive line?
How about we do this? How about we play a game and we don't turn the ball over?
That'd be a good idea.
And keep it under 30 yards of penalties.
JCNAZ says we're losing the chess match. Wants more creativity from the coaches.
Okay.
Okay. We have Ben Gruen says it's not a matter of Odell not getting open. It's the D putting more guys in the area that deters Eli from throwing there.
Look, oh, yeah. His first catch, a slant that he had across the middle, 4 guys tried to tackle him.
Yeah.
Like with the moment he touched the ball.
They're like sharks.
Like 4 guys all over him, yeah.
That is true. I can't deny that part of it. He's drawing attention, and why wouldn't he? He's pretty good.
He's supposed
to. All right, we got another one here. Let's see. E, the Chosen One says, please bring up the success having with Rainey and Perkins and how going forward can utilize them in the offense. Now, that's interesting. Perkins had a really nice play off a screen.
Well, I would say Perkins' only flaw is they can't be sure if he's going to protect the quarterback. That's the only reason why they don't usually play guys. The other thing that could be a flaw, he did fumble a couple times in preseason.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I don't know where they are with the trust and where they are with him believing that he can take care of the quarterback when he's in there. But, you know, he can be a useful guy. I mean, but to me, any back, if you give him time, he gets in that rhythm, they can start playing. I believe that. But I don't know that because, again, I don't know what the plan is, how they're rotating guys in and out, why they're rotating guys in and out. I know nothing about that. I'm watching like everyone else and wondering.
Davin Anderson says a Bleacher Report article says they got an article up there that Odell Beckham might get benched, apparently, if he has an outburst in the Packers game. I know nothing about that. I would not pretend to know anything about that.
Let me comment on that. The kid's got passion. I'm not making an excuse for him. You go to him, tell him to calm it down. We got your back. But you don't you this whole benching of this whole thing, that's the media. You guys got to, like, go ahead and say what you want to say and do whatever. I want this kid to play and play at a high level. But I want him to pick his spots and make his plays. As far as, you know, him going crazy, if there is a 50-yard catch by Odell and then there is a clip in the back and he comes off and he's screaming and yelling, but he's not screaming at the guy who did it. But you guys are like, he's a distraction. It'd be a distraction if he went to the guy and started yelling and screaming at him right on the sideline and wanted to fight the guy who did that. But, again, I don't want to make excuses for him. I want him to be the best player he can be and be the person that we know that he is. But I feel bad that everyone wants him to be someone else. Like I said, if he's a linebacker and he's over there screaming and yelling, or if he's an offensive lineman over there screaming and yelling, or if he's a quarterback over there screaming and yelling, he's a fired-up guy. He has passion.
It's amazing.
If he's a receiver – he's a diva.
The position seems to alter the perception.
You watch Tom Brady on the sidelines screaming and yelling at coaches, getting in guys' faces, wanting, and everybody's going nuts. And Tom Brady's the greatest player to ever live.
I read that tweet simply because I want to let you know, folks, there's not a reporter in this world who has any clue as to what Ben McAdoo is thinking on game day. Trust me. So, you know, hype is hype.
If they bench him, I'd be surprised.
People want clicks. That's what that's all about.
And they're doing a good job of it.
Vic Fontana says Jerry Rice was double-teamed, targeted, and intimidated, and he got open. If Odell's a top receiver, we'll see how he does and how adversity defines him. Hey, you know what? Let's just see what happens Sunday. Let's see how well things go.
You know, he's right. He's right with that. You got, if you want to be the top receiver, you should.
You got to make it happen.
No, you want people to be. You want them to come get you, and you still want to make plays.
Big D says we got to turn that heavy hand to a fist. 2 tight ends and get a fullback. Win the physical battle. Run to set up the pass.
Oh, that'd be great. Then you would be, you know, scoring every other, you know, 4 or 5 series when the other team's like throwing the ball up and down the field, and you'd be tired. I'm telling you, I wish it worked every time. It just doesn't. You can't block the guys on the other side of the ball every play. If you could, they would still be running that type offense. And that's the honest answer. If you could put 2 tight ends in and run the ball every down, every team in the league would have that set up, but you only use it on goal line, and it doesn't. It's not 100%. Okay. You only use it in short yardage. It's not 100%. So if you can't get a yard with it, how do you expect to run it at guys for a full game?
Easy says we can use Perkins in the passing game, not in the backfield, but in the slot to get him involved because he's elusive and fast.
Yeah, is he that great of a receiver? I don't know. Is he great?
He has shown good hands at UCLA, did okay. catch a lot of balls out of the backfield.
Okay.
And in camp, when we did see him, he did catch well.
Okay, so you know slot means make a move, get
that's
open.
Different. Now, that's different than just catching the ball.
But that's catching the ball. Catching the ball is not just standing out there and me throwing it to you. Catch
but
the
you
ball
asked me if he can catch shake. The ball. That's what that, you asked me. And I said he can't catch the ball.
Catching the ball, like I can stand in front of a gun machine to catch the ball. But with these knees, I ain't shaking nobody. I shake when I get out of my easy chair. That's about it.
We got one more comment here from Jay-Z and AZ. Says, I want to see OV inside like Tuck or standing up. Creativity, also more Okwara and Double O.
Let me tell you something. If the guys can get there, they're going to get there. If you don't see guys getting there, that's on them. And I'm sure these guys are good players. They want to get there and everything, but you got, like, my son plays D-line. I tell him all the time, you can't use the same move all the time. Mix it up. When you mix it up, the moment you mix it up, guys start to freak out because they don't know what you're going to do next. Lawrence Taylor could rush around the edge. He could run over you. He could spin. He could give you a half step. Reggie White would slap you out of the way. But he slapped you out of the way because he ran around you twice. He slapped you out of the way because he was bull rushing you. And you would be hopping back trying to get ready to go. And when you got in the air, he'd be like, whoop, don't land yet, and just go to the quarterback. So you got to have some of that. But we don't – Reggie White isn't playing for our team. Lawrence Taylor isn't playing for our team.
No.
So these guys don't – these guys – you got to work with what you got, and you got to learn how to be good at it.
All right, our poll question, the results are in. Who will have the most receiving yards against the Packers? Odell Beckham, 41%.
I'm going to say Shepard's going to have the most receiving yards.
Shepard at 36% and Cruz at only 23%.
I think Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is going to get a whole lot of Shepard this week.
Yeah, yep. Maybe he won't be laughing.
Well, that's Bama guy. That's why I used it.
I understand.
I just wanted to say it.
I understand. okay, we go back to the phones at 201-939-4513. We've only got 5 minutes left in the program, so we're going to have to be quick. Owen from Yonkers, you're next on the show.
How's it going, fellas?
Hi.
Last caller was a great caller. I agree with a lot of things that he said.
Good calls today, I must add. Everybody well thought out.
Yeah, so the guy Wade, I feel like he's in the game. He should be blitzing a whole lot because he can't cover anybody downfield. I know he's a professional. I know he's an athlete, which is great, but a lot of his coverage, I don't know what he thinks. To touch on things with Beckham, I do feel it's bad that other guys around the league, you know, which was touched on earlier, Marshall and other people have came to Beckham's defense, and guys on the team kind of, you know, a little hesitant. They should be more a little bit behind him, you know. That fire is what makes him who he is. If you take away Tom Brady's fire, if you take away Doug Bryant's fire, then they're not the same player. You know, you can't, you know, put a guy like that on the leash. You know, he does have to channel his things right, but his frustration comes from not really getting the ball, you know.
Yeah.
You look around the league, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones.
I know, but let's do this. Julio Jones didn't have a pass a week before, and then he had 300 yards the next game. He wasn't jumping and screaming. My whole thing with the jumping and screaming has nothing to do with the Giants themselves, has nothing to do with what you're hearing out of the locker room or what you're not hearing out of the locker room. My whole thing with jumping and screaming is the officials are throwing the flag at and on Beckham. Regardless if he's right, regardless if he's wrong, he is the Adamican Sue of offense right now. Nothing he's doing is going to be in his favor. If he catches the ball, runs down one hand, does a phenomenal catch and gets up and dance, he may get a flag. So right now, that's the message that I would be saying in the locker room to him. Hey, look, they out to get you. So how are you going to handle it? So that's his message. But, you know, what everybody else is saying doesn't matter. The message is they're out to get you, kid. What are you going to do now? And let it go.
Eli's, you know, pull him to the side, tell him, yeah, the best way to get him is to, you know, kill him on the field. You know, do your thing. Let's go get him. And I feel like that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, but it's not. That's not what's happening. You know, not to cut you out, not to cut you off, but that's not what's happening. When he is killing them on the field, they're doing extra stuff to him, and the official is telling him to calm down. Right. See, that's the thing they're not constantly showing. Like, what's his name?
The hits out of bounds.
Dropping him, picking up and carrying him and dropping him.
Oh, wow, what Newman did.
Newman did. Picking him up, carrying up and dropping him. And then Odell raises his arm and he puts his hand on Odell. Go back to the huddle. It's not Newman. Here's a flag. Why are you picking this kid up? They didn't do that. So that's what I'm saying. You have to pay attention to what the officials are calling, not just Odell's like crazy. Just pay attention to what's happening.
Absolutely. And last week with the hits out of bounds, so it's frustrating for him, I understand. But hopefully they can get it going.
They will.
The Giants can pull out a win this week. 3-2 is much better than 2-3.
Yep. All right. Thanks for your call. Absolutely.
All right. Great stuff. We have 2 minutes left, and Charlie from Maine is going to be our last caller on the show. Charlie, we don't have much time.
Sorry,
go ahead.
All right. Paul, you're looking dapper today.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I've got a cross to bear. Hey, Howard, how are you doing?
Very good.
Hey, just quick. Odell is not a distraction. He is the solution. If any game plan should be is to get Odell the ball. And in the first four games, he was only thrown to 8 times in the first quarter. In the last 2 games, he wasn't thrown at all in the first quarter. You can't have your best player on offense not getting the ball and being the focus of your offense. That is the main problem that I see. And if he's not getting the ball, he's going to get frustrated. And he's going to get frustrated more when he's getting hit and nothing's happening about it. And the other thing, the last thing I'll say quickly is, our offense is playing to our weakness, which is the O-line. We're not playing to Eli's strength. We don't have the time to throw the ball down the field, to go to our second and third reads, because our offensive line can only block for a second. And that is a problem. So I don't see our O-line. The stats might look good, but it's because the ball's getting out so quick, we don't have time. They're always going to jump these short routes because they know that's all Eli has time to throw.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Because we have to go. I'll address both things.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
Quickly on Odell. Get the ball to him early. That's all cute. The game plan is the game plan. You don't have to get the ball to someone early. That guy's got to play within the rules. Odell kind of showed against the Rams a year or so ago when they took cheap shots at him that he would get aggravated. Now everybody's taking a cheap shot. Got to grow past that.
Right.
Number two, as far as getting the ball out early, every team in the league wants an offense that can get the ball out early.
That is true.
Every team in the league is dying to have that quick-hitting offense. And when you quick hit, then you go over the top. You don't throw over the top early because usually you put your quarterback at risk, a.k.a. Cam Newton, concussion protocol, because he was holding on the ball trying to go deep for Benjamin. It's just you got to be able to get it out, be successful getting it out, to draw them in to go after them. That's just the way it's set up.
Howard, I don't know if you were in the league at this time or not, but it goes back quite a ways where there was a rule of thumb where if you gave a quarterback 4 seconds, he was going to destroy you. It might be before your time.
If you give a quarterback 4 seconds, that's 50 yards down the field.
Yeah. Now, that was – I mean, we're talking like years ago. And I think it was before you came into the league. That was the rule of thumb. It was if you
– 4 seconds.
Yeah. That's how ridiculous things have changed.
That had to be before me because I've never heard
– I think it was.
Giving a quarterback 4 seconds.
Well, see
– what quarterback has 4 seconds?
Well, because you – remember, you came in the 90.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this because I started in 83. I'm thinking back in the mid-80s, they were talking about if a quarterback got rid of the ball in 3, wow, that was incredibly fast.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
in great shape.
Yeah.
If he gets 4 seconds now, oh, just forget it because that's going to be a whole lot of time.
And Dan Marino would have loved that 4 seconds.
Oh, without quite. Well,
he would have thrown for 2 million yards.
And see, and that's how much the game has changed because now – they're talking about if you would give a guy 3, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, if you're 3 seconds is a long time.
You know?
3 seconds is a 30-yard to a 40-yard catch.
And that's how much the game has changed. Again, we're talking a long time because I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, but think about this. Let's put it in perspective for people to understand what he's saying. Here you go. 1, 2, 3. Ball is thrown. The receiver's already ran almost 30 yards. It takes about another second and a half for the receiver to get the ball. For 4.5, 4.6 seconds, the receiver is 40-plus yards down the field. That's what's happening. When you hear the 1 and 2, 3 seconds, 2 seconds means the receiver is about 10 to 20 yards down the field. 3 seconds. Every time you hear another second count, the ball in the air is not part of the seconds that are counted before it's released. The release gives the guys time when the ball comes out. If it's on the line, boom. But if it's not on the line, it's going deep. A lot of stuff can happen.
The game has changed.
And constantly will.
We are always back here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Monday to Friday on Giants.com and your Giants phone app. I understand there were some problems with the app today. Folks, I apologize for that. I'm sure we'll do whatever we can to get it fixed for tomorrow.
I'm not technical.
201-939-4513 or hashtag at Giants Chat. He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you again next time.